Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. I want to talk to you today about how the devil is attempting to silence the church through the issue of sexual immorality and specifically homosexuality. And so the prophecies of the last 15 or 20 years when Christian prophets have been speaking about the issue of sexual immorality and how it would be used to silence the church, these prophecies are now coming to pass, and we're seeing it unfold before our very eyes as to the teachings of God. The teachings from His holy word are being pushed aside, and great persecution is coming to the church, and I just want to be able to stand up and speak the word of God while there is still time, while there is still daylight. There is still time to preach, and there's still time to speak the word of God over the airwaves, over the television, over revival and crusade settings, and in many other ways. The truth is still being known, but I'm concerned, beloved, and as a prophet of the Lord and as a spokesman for the Lord, I know that more persecution is coming, that great distress and trials are coming here to the people of the United States, and we've been fairly immune and exempt from this type of persecution, and other people in other places have received the brunt of the persecution. They've been had their heads sawn off. They've had explosions and bombs in their buses and on their trains and on their subways, and individuals have been persecuted in many ways, and so I believe what has happened in other parts of the country now is coming to America. And so I just ask you to prepare, I ask you to pray about that you can stand strong in the face of persecution, that you can stay strong and you can stay true to your faith. And the Lord Jesus says that when He comes back, He wants to find faith amongst us. He wants to find us faithful. And so I believe that it is very important that you understand and you know what you believe about Jesus, that you know in your heart that no matter what comes your way, no matter what type of trial or tribulation comes your way, that you're going to stand with the Lord, you're going to continue to testify and witness that He is your Lord and Savior, and that you will not be deterred, you will not cower in fear, you will not be intimidated. And so I'm giving this teaching today because the issue of homosexuality, the issue of sexual immorality in general, is being used to silence the church. And this is what the prophets have been saying all along, is that the issue of homosexual marriage or gay marriage is not just about homosexuals being able to marry, but it's about a much broader and a much greater issue, and that is this issue will be used to silence the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be used to silence the teaching of the men and women of God on the truth of the gospel and what God says about marriage. And so before I start to teach here and before I start to discuss this, I want you to know that if you have homosexuals in your family, or you yourself may be listening today, if you are a homosexual or you have agreements with homosexuals, I want you to know that God loves them. God cares deeply about them. He cares about people no matter what their lifestyle is, no matter what their sin is. God cares about them. He loves them. He loves you if you're inclined in that direction or you're trapped in that lifestyle. He cares about you. He loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for every sinner, no matter what their sin. Maybe you have a tendency to adultery or a tendency or a proclivity towards fornication, that is, sleeping around or just having serial partners. And no matter what your sin is in regards to sexual immorality or any other sin, maybe you just are a liar, a cheater, or whatever, we all are sinners. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and He shed His precious blood. He hung on the cross that we might know God for all eternity, that we might be reconciled back to God. And so no matter what your sin, God loves you. I love you. God cares about you. I care about you. The reason I'm bringing this issue up today is because there's been a great blinding and a great deception going on here in America, and everybody is starting to cave in to the issue of homosexual marriage, and everybody is starting to cave in with the, you might say, the agreement that it's okay, that it's an acceptable lifestyle. And I want you to know that God does not agree with that. God is not in agreement. His word speaks against that. And so it's very important that you know where you stand, because this is going to cause a great calamity in the church. It's going to cause pastors to have to make a stand and eventually be put in jail to silence them. And it's eventually going to cause a great split and divide in the church, the Bride of Christ, here in America and in other places in the world. Well, the Bible is clear, number one. The Bible is clear on the issue of homosexuality. God is not confused about it. God is not in any kind of a quandary about it. His word is very clear. If you would get out your Bible and read His word, you would understand that God is very clear, and He makes it very clear that marriage is, in His eyes, between one man and one woman, and God verifies this and validates it in many ways. The biology of men and women fit together. The biology validates God's plan. It validates God's perfect plan for children to be the offspring of one man and one woman. And so this is God's will for all people, even people that are inclined towards homosexuality or have been raised up and pushed in that direction, or made to believe when they're very young that this is who they are and this is what they are. I want you to know that God's plan is very clear. He speaks in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He says, this is through the words of Paul in the New Testament, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites," that is, male prostitutes, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And so what God is saying there, what Paul is saying through the words of God, what Paul is saying here is that if you are in a repetitive, conscious, willful practice of these lifestyles, of this rebellion towards God, if you are in a repetitive, willful, conscious decision to practice these lifestyles, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, again, the list is very inclusive, and it includes all types of sexual immorality, that fornicators, that's people who have sex outside of marriage, serial partners, or are shacking up or living with people that they're not married with. Idolaters, that's people who put idolatry or raise up another god before the God of Israel, raise up another god or a creation of God. Could be your boat, could be your golf game, could be a sports team. That's idolatry, that's idolaters. And adulterers, that is people who are duly married and take partners of somebody else's marriage or somebody else's partner to be your partner. That's adultery. Homosexuals, we know, is homosexuality is people of the same sex attracted to each other. Sodomites or male prostitutes, nor thieves, nor covet, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And so this includes just about every kind of willful disobedience against the kingdom of God. And Paul says, without any doubt, without any uncertainty, that the people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, in the Old Testament, God was equally clear about it. He was equally certain about it. He was not in any type of confusion. He told the Israelites, Leviticus 18:22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." And in the very same passage of Scripture, verse 23, he says, "You shall not mate with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion." And in verse 20, "Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife," that's adultery, "to defile yourself with her." And then God pronounced the judgment in verse 24, Leviticus 18. He said, "Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. Well, last week I talked about the judgment of Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, how I believe many of the things happening in America today are a release of God's judgment, or in another way to say it would be a removal of his hand of blessing over this nation. And when he removes his hand of blessing, then the devil is free to tear into the children. The devil is free to tear into the politicians. The devil is free to tear into even the Christians. And so I see a removal of God's blessing because we have turned away from the Lord. We have turned away from him, and we have sought other gods. We have denied the truth of his scripture, and we have gone our own way. And so God is saying, okay, I'm going to let you go your own way. I'm going to give you a king, and you can worship him. I'm going to let you go your own way in your own rebellion. And eventually the judgment of God, just as it was for the Israelite children, eventually the judgment of God will come upon a place. The land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. Well, I hope that doesn't happen here in America. I hope it doesn't happen here in this state or in this city. But when we continue to turn against the Lord, when we continue to defy his word and the truth of his word, then God has no choice but to allow the judgment to come in. Well, another story that most of you are familiar with, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19:4, two angels of the Lord, or two men, came into the city, and before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, in 19:4, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house where these men were with Lot, and they called to Lot, and they said to him, "Where are the men who came with you tonight? Bring them to us that we may know them carnally." And that is a term, that "know them carnally," that is a term, basically what it means is that we want to have sex with them. And so this was a desire by the men of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to have homosexual sex with these angels of the Lord who looked like men, to have homosexual sex with them and to know them carnally. And then the angels of the Lord said to Lot, they said in verse 13, "For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And so the Lord sent these angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know the rest of the story. The fire and brimstone did come down. Lot and his family were spared and taken out, most of them. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, but the fire of the Lord came down, the fire and the brimstone, and it destroyed these two cities because of the sin, because of their rebellion, because of their open rebellion to the Lord. And the Lord sent his angels to destroy that city, and they were none of them spared except for Lot and his daughters. And so we see that God's judgment was pronounced. God gave them plenty of time to repent. God gave them a time of grace to repent, just as he's giving us here in America a time to repent and a time to turn back to the Lord. Well, many times you'll hear people from the homosexual agenda say that it's just in the Old Testament that God spoke against homosexuality, that Jesus never spoke against it. And that is true to some degree, although Jesus spoke in Matthew 19:6 and many other passages in the Bible about the sanctity of marriage, about marriage between one man and one woman, and the whole context of the Bible, especially in Romans 1, the first chapter of Romans. I urge you to read that. It's very clear what God is saying through the words of Paul, that God's desire is for marriage to be one man, one woman, and that God considers homosexuality to be perversion and open rebellion and hatred towards God. Romans 1:24, it tells us, "Therefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves." who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And here he's talking about people who did not accept the witness of God, the witness through God's creation, the witness through nature of God's creation and his plan for reproduction. They did not acknowledge that. Instead, they rebelled against it, and they started to worship their own bodies. They started to desire each other carnally. They started to want to lie with each other carnally and be in open rebellion to God's plan for their life. And so it tells us in verse 26 in Romans 1, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature." Verse 27, "Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do things which are not fitting." And so it tells us that God eventually gave them their own way, that they were in rebellion to the extent where God just said, "Okay, I'm going to give you your own desire. I'm going to let you have what you want." And then it says God gave them over to a debased or a reprobate mind. That is a mind that was full of perversion, a mind that is full of deceit and unrighteousness, a mind that is full of hatred towards God. And God continues to this day. He hasn't changed his mind about sexual perversion. He has not changed his mind about sexual immorality. And he has not changed his mind about what he believes is marriage. The definition of marriage is between one man and one woman. And so I want to encourage you today to be in prayer for this nation. I want you to be in prayer for the judges who are overturning the defense of marriage laws all over this country. And I want you to be in prayer for our elected leaders, that they would not be confused. And I want you to be in prayer for our pastors and our teachers, that they would not be confused about this issue. Paul goes on to say that these who have been given over to their reprobate minds in verse 29 of Romans 1, he says, they are filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And then in 32, the judgment then is pronounced. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so we see that the judgment, especially as we looked at the Old Testament, the judgment for those who practiced these things, the judgment was death, in fact, to the point where they would take them out and stone them on the outskirts of the city. Well, we don't do that nowadays. We actually do the opposite. We glorify homosexuality. We have parades in the cities and celebrate, and we set aside times and seasons to celebrate homosexuality. And I just pray for this country, brothers and sisters. I pray for our elected leaders. I pray for our church leaders, that we would not be deceived and we would not set aside the words of God's holy word. We would not set aside the words of Paul, and we would not set aside the Lord's desire for righteousness and holiness amongst his people here on this earth. Well, what we see happening in Houston, if you're not familiar with the situation down there, five pastors have been ordered to report their sermons, their speeches, their phone calls, their emails, their inter-office communications, 17 different types of communications. These five pastors have been ordered to give up to the city of Houston. The lesbian mayor down there and her attorney are bent on silencing the Church of God. They're bent on silencing these pastors and all the other pastors in the city of Houston. And so we just say in Jesus' name that the word of God shall be spoken. We say in Jesus' name that we stand with these pastors. We stand with them in agreement that God's word shall prevail. We stand in them in agreement if they are arrested and have to spend time in jail, that we will pray for them, that we will go and bless them and their work and bless the word that they are preaching and teaching. And so this is a fulfillment of prophecy, brothers and sisters, that the word of God will be attempted to be silenced by the sexual immorality, by the homosexual agenda. And so we're seeing it come to pass right now, this day, and in this nation. And so the time for Christians to stand up is right now. Well, I pray that you are not offended by this message. If you are, you may want to do a check in your heart. You may want to pray about God's will for your life. If you are offended by this message, you may want to get out your Bible and read the first chapter of Romans, and read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, to the end of the chapter, verse 20. And you will understand then God's will, and you will understand His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so I just pray that you would receive this message with love. God cares about every single person. He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins. He sent His Son Jesus to hang on the cross for every one of our sins, for every single person. And it's God's will that none should perish, that all should come to know Him. And so as I speak this message, as I intercede for those who are in rebellion, as I intercede for those who are openly defiant towards God and have been given over to a reprobate mind, I pray that we would come to our senses. I pray that we would seek the Lord, seek His face, and continue to study His word and receive His word and the wisdom of His word as a guidance for our life and for your life. Well, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would do that today. I pray that you would seek Him, that if you're trapped in any kind of sexual immorality or any kind of sin, any kind of open rebellion towards God, that you would turn from your wicked ways, that you would seek His face, that you would pray to Him and receive His blessing, receive His forgiveness, and continue then to walk in newness of life, continue then to walk in the calling and the destiny that God has for you. I pray that you would do that today. If you make a decision to accept Jesus, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. If you have any prayer requests this day, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Maybe you have somebody in your family who's trapped in sexual immorality or homosexual relationships, and you need somebody to pray with you in that regard. Let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I will be happy to pray with you, and I would be happy to intercede with you in that regard. Well, God bless you today. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.